perversity. And ye fools, delight in your scorning. As yet despise you the offers of peace and deliverance. As yet will ye refuse the golden offers of Shaddai, and trust to the lies and falsehoods of Diabolus? Think you, when Shaddai shall have conquered you, that the remembrance of these your carriages towards him will yield you peace and comfort, or that by ruffling language you can make him afraid as a grasshopper? Doth he entreat you for fear of you? Do you think that you are stronger than he? Look to the heavens and behold and consider the stars, how high they are. Can you stop the sun from running his course and hinder the moon from giving her light? Can you count the number of the stars or stay the bottles of heaven? Can you call for the waters of the sea and cause them to cover the face of the ground? Can you behold every one that is proud and abase him and bind their faces in secret? Yet these are some of the works of our King, in whose name this day we come up unto you, that you may be brought under his authority. In his name, therefore, I summon you again to yield up yourselves to his captains. At this summons, the Mansulians seemed to be at a stand, and knew not what answer to make. Wherefore Diabolus forthwith appeared, and took upon him to do it himself, and thus he begins, but turns his speech to them of Mansoul. Gentlemen, quoth he, and my faithful subjects, if it is true that this summoner hath said concerning the greatness of their king, by his terror you will always be kept in bondage, and so be made to sneak. Yea, how can you now, though he is at a distance, endure to think of such a mighty one? And if not to think of him while at a distance, how can you endure to be in his presence? I, your prince, am familiar with you, and you may play with me as you would with a grasshopper. Consider, therefore, what is for your profit, and remember the immunities that I have granted you. Further, if all be true that this man hath said, how come it to pass that the subjects of Shaddai are so enslaved in all places where they come? None in the universe so unhappy as they, none so trampled upon as they. Consider, my Mansoul, would thou wert as loath to leave me as I am loath to leave thee? But consider, I say, the ball is yet at thy foot. Liberty you have, if you know how to use it. Yea, a king you have too, if you can tell how to love and obey him. Upon this speech the town of Mansoul did again harden their hearts yet more against the captains of Shaddai. The thoughts of his greatness did quite quash them, and the thoughts of his holiness sunk them in despair. Wherefore, after a short consult, they, of the Diabolian party they were, sent back this word by the trumpeter, that for their parts they were resolved to stick to their king, but never to yield to Shaddai. So it was but in vain to give them any further summons, for they had rather die upon the place than yield. And now things seemed to be gone quite back, and Mansoul to be out of reach or call. Yet the captains who knew what their lord could do would not yet be beat out of heart. They therefore sent them another summons, more sharp and severe than the last. But the oftener they were sent to reconcile to Shaddai, the farther off they were. As they called them, so they went from them, yea, though they called them to the Most High. So they ceased that way to deal with them any more, and inclined to think of another way. The captains therefore did gather themselves together, to have free conference among themselves, to know what was yet to be done to gain the town, and to deliver it from the tyranny of Diabolus. And one said after this manner, and another after that. Then stood up the right noble, the captain Conviction, and said, my brethren, mine opinion is this. First, that we continually play our slings into the town, and keep it in a continual alarm, molesting them day and night. By thus doing, we shall stop the growth of their rampant spirit, for a lion may be tamed by continual molestation. Secondly, this done, I advise that in the next place, we, with one consent, draw up a petition to our Lord Shaddai, by which, after we have showed our king the condition of Mansoul and of affairs here, and have begged his pardon for our no better success, we will earnestly implore His Majesty's help, and that He will please to send us more force and power, and some gallant and well-spoken commander to head them, that so His Majesty may not lose the benefit of these His good beginnings, but may complete His conquest upon the town of Mansoul. To this speech of the noble captain conviction, they as one man consented, and agreed that a petition should forthwith be drawn up, and sent by a fit man away to Shaddai with speed. The contents of the petition were thus: Most gracious and glorious King, the Lord of the best world and the builder of the town of Mansoul, we have, dread sovereign, at thy commandment, put our lives in jeopardy, and at thy bidding made a war upon the famous town of Mansoul. When we went up against it, we did, according to our commission, first offer conditions of peace unto it. But they, great kings, set light by our counsel, and would none of our reproof. They were for shutting their gates and for keeping us out of the town. They also mounted their guns, they sallied out upon us, and have done us what damage they could. But we pursued them with alarm upon alarm, requiting them with such retribution as was meet, and have done some execution upon the town. Diabolus, incredulity, and will be will, are the great doers against us. Now we are in our winter quarters, but so as that we do yet with an high hand molest and distress the town. Once, as we think, had we had but one substantial friend in the town, such as would but have seconded the sound of our summons as they ought, the people might have yielded themselves. But there were none but enemies there, nor any to speak in behalf of our Lord to the town. Wherefore, though we have done as we could, yet Mansoul abides in a state of rebellion against thee. Now, King of Kings, let it please thee to pardon the unsuccessful of thy servants, who have been no more advantageous in so desirable a work as the conquering of Mansoul is. And send, Lord, as we now desire, more forces to Mansoul, that it may be subdued, and a man to head them, that the town may both love and fear. We do not thus speak because we are willing to relinquish the wars, for we are for laying of our bones against the place, but that the town of Mansoul may be won for thy majesty. We also pray thy majesty for expedition in this matter, that after their conquest we may be at liberty to be sent about other thy gracious designs. Amen. The petition thus drawn up was sent away with haste to the king by the hand of that good man, Mr. Love to Mansoul. When this petition was come to the palace of the king, who should it be delivered to but to the king's son? So he took it and read it, and because the contents of it pleased him well, he mended, and also in some things added to the petition himself. So after he had made such amendments and additions as he thought convenient, with his own hand, he carried it to the king, to whom, when he had with obeisance delivered it, he put on authority and spake to it himself. Now the king at the sight of the petition was glad, but how much more, think you, when it was seconded by his son? It pleased him also to hear that his servants who camped against Mansoul were so hearty in the work, and so steadfast in their resolves, and that they had already got some ground upon the famous town of Mansoul. Wherefore the king called to him Emmanuel, his son, who said, Here am I, my father. Then said the king, Thou knowest, as I do myself, the condition of the town of Mansoul, and what we have purposed, and what thou hast done to redeem it. Come now, therefore, my son, and prepare thyself for the war, for thou shalt go to my camp at Mansoul. Thou shalt also there prosper and prevail, and conquer the town of Mansoul. Then said the king's son, Thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will. This is the day that I have longed for, and the work that I have waited for all this while. Grant me, therefore, what force thou shalt in thy kingdom think meet, and I will go and will deliver from Diabolus and from his power thy perishing town of Mansoul. My heart has been often pained within me for the miserable town of Mansoul, but now it is rejoiced, but now it is glad. And with that, he leaped over the mountains for joy, saying, I have not in my heart thought anything too dear for Mansoul. The day of vengeance is in mine heart for thee, my Mansoul, and glad am I that thou, my father, hast made me the captain of their salvation. And I will now begin to plague all those that have been a plague to my town of Mansoul, and will deliver it from their hand. When the king's son had said thus to his father, it presently flew like lightning round about at court. Yea, it there became the only talk what Emmanuel was to go to do for the famous town of Mansoul. But you cannot think how the courtiers, too, were taken with this design of the prince. Yea, so affected were they with this work and with the justness of the war, that the highest lord and greatest peer of the kingdom did covet to have commissions under Emmanuel, to go to help to recover again to Shaddai the miserable town of Mansoul. Then it was concluded that some should go and carry tidings that Emmanuel was to come to recover Mansoul, and that he would bring along with him so mighty, so impregnable a force that he could not be resisted. But oh, how ready were the high ones at court to run like lackeys to carry these tidings to the camp that was at Mansoul. Now when the captains perceived that the king would send Emmanuel his son, and that it also delighted the son to be sent on this errand by the great Shaddai his father, they also, to show how they were pleased at the thoughts of his coming, gave a shout that made the earth rend at the sound thereof. Yea, the mountains did answer again by echo, and Diabolus himself did totter and shake. For you must know that though the town of Mansoul itself was not much, if at all concerned with the project, for alas for them, they were woefully besotted, for they chiefly regarded their pleasure and their lusts. Yet Diabolus their governor was, for he had his spies continually abroad, who brought him intelligence of all things, and they told him what was doing at court against him, and that Emmanuel would shortly certainly come with the power to invade him. Nor was there any man at court, nor peer of the kingdom, that Diabolus so feared as he feared his prince. For, if you remember, I showed you before that Diabolus had felt the weight of his hand already, so that, since it was he that was to come, this made him the more afraid. Well, you see how I have told you that the king's son was engaged to come from the court to save Mansoul, and that his father had made him the captain of the forces. The time, therefore, of his setting forth, being now expired, he addressed himself for his march, and taketh with him, for his power, 5 noble captains and their forces. 1. The first was the famous captain, the noble captain Credence. His were the colors red, and his promise bare them, and for escutcheon he had the holy lamb and golden shield, and he had 10,000 men at his feet. 2. The second was that famous captain, the captain Good Hope. His were the blue colors. His standard bearer was Mr. Expectation, and for his escutcheon he had the 3 golden anchors, and he had 10,000 men at his feet. 3. The third was that valiant captain, the captain Charity. His standard-bearer was Mr. Pitiful. His were the green colors, and for his escutcheon he had 3 naked orphans embraced in the bosom, and he had 10,000 men at his feet. 4. The fourth was that gallant commander, the Captain Innocent. His standard-bearer was Mr. Harmless. His were the white colors, and for his escutcheon he had 3 golden doves. 5. The fifth was the truly loyal and well-beloved captain, the Captain Patience. His standard-bearer was Mr. Suffer Long. His were the black colors, and for escutcheon he had 3 arrows through the golden heart. These were Emmanuel's captains, these their standard-bearers, their colors, and their escutcheons, and these the men under their command. So, as was said, the brave prince took his march to go to the town of Mansoul. Captain Credence led the van, and Captain Patience brought up the rear. So the other three with their men made up the main body, the prince himself riding in his chariot at the head of them. But when they set out for their march, oh, how the trumpets sounded, their armor glittered, and how the colors waved in the wind. The prince's armor was all of gold, and it shone like the sun in the firmament. The captain's armor was of proof, and was in appearance like the glittering stars. There were also some from the court that rode reformates for the love that they had to the king Shaddai, and for the happy deliverance of the town of Mansoul. Emmanuel also, when he had thus set forwards to go to recover the town of Mansoul, took with him, at the commandment of his father, 54 battering rams, and 12 slings to whirl stones withal. Every one of these was made of pure gold, and these they carried with them, in the heart and body of their army, all along as they went to Mansoul. So they marched till they came within less than a league of the town. There they lay till the first four captains came thither to acquaint them with matters. Then they took their journey to go to the town of Mansoul, and unto Mansoul they came. But when the old soldiers that were in the camp saw that they had new forces to join with, they again gave such a shout before the walls of the town of Mansoul that it put Diabolus into another fright. So they sat down before the town, not now as the other four captains did, to wit, against the gates of Mansoul only, but they environed it round on every side, and beset it behind and before, so that now, let Mansoul look which way it will, it saw force and power lie in siege against it. Besides, there were mounts cast up against it. The Mount Gracious was on the one side, the Mount Justice was on the other. Further, there were several small banks and advanced grounds, as Plain Truth Hill and No Sin Banks, where many of the slings were placed against the town. Upon Mount Gracious were planted four, and upon Mount Justice were placed as many, and the rest were conveniently placed in several parts around the town. Five of the best battering rams, that is, of the biggest of them, were placed upon Mount Hyrcan, a mount cast up hard by Eargate, with intent to break that open. Now when the men of the town saw the multitude of the soldiers that were come up against the place, and the rams and slings and the mounts on which they were planted, together with the glittering of the armor and the waving of their colors, they were forced to shift, and again to shift their thoughts. But they hardly changed for thoughts more stout, but rather for the thoughts more faint. For though before they thought themselves sufficiently guarded, yet now they began to think that no man knew what would be their hap or lot. When the good Prince Emmanuel had thus beleaguered Mansoul, in the first place he hangs out the white flag, which he caused to be set up among the golden slings that were planted upon Mount Gracious. And this he did for two reasons. One, to give notice to Mansoul that he could and would yet be gracious if they turned to him. Two, and that he might leave them the more without excuse should he destroy them, they continuing in their rebellion. So the white flag with the three golden doves in it was hung out for 2 days altogether, to give them time and space to consider. But they, as was hinted before, as if they were unconcerned, made no reply to the favorable signal of the prince. Then he commanded, and they set the red flag upon that mount called Mount Justice. It was the red flag of Captain Judgment, whose escutcheon was the burning, fiery furnace, and this also stood waving before them in the wind for several days together. But look how they carried it under the white flag, when that was hung out. So did they also when the red one was, and yet he took no advantage of them. Then he commanded again.